even if we struggle. Because, beloved, a little with a good future is better than a whole lot with a bleak future. Better a little with the righteous than a lot with the wicked. Why? Long view, because of the outcome of what lies ahead.
Why do we worry or fret? If we acknowledge that Christ has risen, just as Scripture tells us, how can the future really discourage us? Well, the answer is, we're dwelling too much in the world and the media, and not enough in God's glorious Word. And today, Pastor Don Green presents more certainties gleaned from the promises of the Bible. It's the concluding part of our series, Take the Long View. Well, Don, as we prepare to listen, how should we best approach today's lesson?
Well, friend, I would want you to be like the Bereans who heard the teaching of the Apostle Paul, but still opened the Scriptures and examined them daily to see what he was saying was so. And you need to do that with not only my teaching, but any Bible teaching you hear. You need to open the Scriptures and read them for yourselves and see if what the speaker is saying to you conforms with what God has made plain in His Word. So open your Bible as you listen to the Truth Pulpit today. Follow along and find what God has in store for you from His Word.
We'll be in Psalm 37, so turn there in your Bible as we join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
First certainty that underlies and supports this calm confidence to which God calls us, number one, men reap what they sow. Beloved, just as certain as gravity is in operation, even though that you can't see it, God has established the moral universe in such a way that sin rebounds against those who do it. Look at verse 12. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. They have power and they have evil intent, and they've trained their guns, as it were, bows and arrows in the day. They have trained their guns on the afflicted and the needy to kill them and to silence those who are upright in their conduct. People just like you and me. What do you do? Oh, that sounds wicked. It is wicked. But is that supposed to suddenly cast you into a spiral of fear and anxiety? No. Look at what David says in verse 15. He says, their sword will enter their own heart and their bows will be broken. What's he saying here in this section? In the present, in time, in the course of our life on earth, wicked men plot evil against the righteous. That's part of the reason why people seem to hate you without cause when they find out that you're a Christian. It's just a natural reaction that comes from the transgression and rebellion in their own heart. Sometimes it's family, I get that. And from an earthly perspective, they have power to carry it out. When the Supreme Court rules against biblical morality, they've got the power to enforce it in our land. Well, what do we do with that? Let's ask a different question. Let's ask a more pertinent question. Let's ask the only question that matters about that. What's God's perspective? What does God think about it? He thinks their plots are laughable. Look at it there in verse 13. The Lord laughs at him. We saw the Lord laughing at the nations in Psalm 2, verse 4 as well. Why does God laugh? Do you see that these plots of the wicked, this rise of wicked men, is absolutely no threat against the sovereignty of God? Their wickedness is doomed to ultimate failure, no matter how secure it might seem to us in the moment from an earthly perspective. Their sin boomerangs and comes back on them. You see this all the time. Don't always think and process it this way. But what happens to violent men? They often die a violent death, don't they? What happens to financial swindlers? They lose their fortune acquired by deception and fraud. Those are just little illustrations of it for us to see that a man reaps what he sows. This is biblical truth. God guarantees the outcome. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, if you want a New Testament text, says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Beloved, that is a moral principle as sure in its operation as gravity operates in the physical realm. This is how God has wired things. Sin never brings ultimate success, even if the doom is only that which occurs in eternity. God reigns over sin to such an extent that he laughs at wicked men who try to build up their tower, their house of cards in time. If it were God's sovereign pleasure, he could just whisper his breath on that house of cards and make it all come down. And so he laughs as he sees this. He is unperturbed by the rise of the wicked. And beloved, here's what that means for you. Because this is the principle that God has woven into the moral universe, because this is true, what do you do? Here's what you do. You don't fret when you see this illusion of prosperity taking place in front of you. You don't worry about it. Instead, you renew your trust in the Lord and say, "Lord, even though I can't see it, how this works out, I can't see how you're going to solve this. Your word says that it's true, and I'm resting in your word, not in what I see." This whole psalm is an exposition, in some sense, of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." What do we do when we see wicked people prosper? We don't go by our perceptions. We go by what God has said. And God has said they will reap what they sow. And to us, we say, "Okay, Lord, then that just means it's a matter of time for you to accomplish the outworking of this principle. And therefore, Lord, I'm not going to let this perturb me. I'm not going to fall into resentment and anxiety as a result. I'm going to live in calm confidence." Why? Because you have established that men will reap what they sow, and therefore the outcome of this wickedness could only be their own judgment and destruction. And Lord, I trust you enough that I'm not going to put a clock on it. I'll just take you at your word and be at peace. That's what you do. Second certainty that underlies calm confidence is this. It becomes a little bit more personal for us as believers. God distinguishes the wicked from the righteous. God distinguishes the wicked from the righteous. In verses 16 and following, David undergirds our spiritual calm with several contrasts. And Just another simple, basic principle that's so obvious when you state it, but so easy to forget. Beloved, your God knows how to separate sheep from goats. He knows who is righteous, who is trusting Christ, and who is not. And he knows quite well and is perfectly capable of separating the two and dealing with them accordingly. This is where David leads us. Look at verse 16. We'll go through these verses rather quickly. "Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. Why? For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. You see the contrast? Wicked and righteous. Judgment on the wicked, the Lord sustaining the righteous. God makes these distinctions. And that calls us to rest in His omniscience and in His provision. Mark it. Trust in His provision even as you look into an uncertain future. This is the Word of God that can no sooner be denied or broken than anything. God's Word cannot be broken. His promises cannot fail. And what does He say? Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the blameless and their inheritance will be forever. They'll not be ashamed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they'll have an abundance. By contrast, the wicked have a dreadful future. Verse 20, notice the contrast. But the wicked will perish. And the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. Beloved, we're just saying the same thing over and over and over again here. Because the text is saying the same thing over and over again. God is settled in his purpose to bless his people and judge the wicked. Nothing is going to cause him to move off his settled purpose. Beloved, he is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows those who are truly his. He sees the hidden plots of evil men. And beloved, your God won't make any mistakes. There won't be any things that slip through and need to be reversed on appeal. God doesn't do that. The outcome of His purpose to distinguish between the righteous and the wicked is certain. That's the long view. That is what will happen in the end. What does that do to you now? It brings calm to your heart. Say, okay, God knows these differences. God knows that I'm trusting in Him. God has promised to keep me. And I'm going to rest in that. But do you see so-and-so coming up? That doesn't matter. Don't you see God reigning on His throne, high and lofty and exalted in the temple of the universe? That settles it for us. And it makes us content, even if we just have a little bit of what this world has to offer. Even if we struggle, because, beloved, a little with a good future is better than a whole lot with a bleak future. Better a little with the righteous than a lot with the wicked. Why? Long view, because of the outcome of what lies ahead. And so we have these certainties that lead us to calm confidence. Thirdly, experience confirms the principle. Experience confirms the principle. Look at verses 23. David is writing in his later years, and his vast life experience testifies to the truth of which he speaks. Verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. David's saying, God delights in the course of the lives of the righteous. Beloved, your godly walk, your simple trust in Christ, your faithful looking to God for all things that affect your soul takes place under His guidance and provision. It takes place under His protection. Because that is true, you should persevere in your trust and be faithful. Trust Him. Beloved, trust Him. If this were the last message that I were to preach to you, if this would be the last echo that you would hear from me, I don't intend it that way. I'm not making any announcements here. But if it were the echo that should come, that should reverberate in your mind going away from this psalm, going away from this pulpit time and time again, is trust Him. Don't dishonor this glorious God. Don't dishonor Christ who gave His life for you on Calvary. Don't dishonor the indwelling Spirit by saying, I don't know what's going to happen. Don't be that way. Beloved, trust Him inside your heart with a trust that is worthy of His exalted nature and the wonderfully gracious way that Christ has saved your soul. That's the only right way to be, isn't it? Nothing else is worthy. Nothing else is true. Your anxieties are a reflection of falsehood. That God can't be trusted. That the outcome may not be good for me even though I'm a Christian. Beloved, stop it. Don't be that way. God commands you again and again and again and again and gives you reason upon reason upon reason to take Him at His word. Final point. Still, this is the sub-point of point number two. The certainties that underlie calm confidence. Why can you be calm in the midst of a shifting, wicked world? Ultimately, God is faithful and just. Beloved, your cues for how to respond to life do not come from the circumstances around you. And they certainly don't come from your personal projections about what the future will hold. What a foolish way for you to try to shape your life and perspectives. Well, I think this is what's going to happen, and therefore I feel this way or that. Beloved, you don't know what tomorrow will be like. How could you possibly make projections that determine the course of your soul based on what you think the future will be like? Stop that. You don't know, James 4. You don't know what tomorrow holds. What do you know then that gives you calm confidence? We have the revealed character of God. And that is what we take our cues and response from. Look at verse 27. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. Why should you pursue a righteous life? Verse 28. For the Lord loves justice, and He does not forsake His godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. Oh, beloved, that we should just fall on our knees in response to this text, in response to this right here in front of us. We should just bow in humble, silent worship. So great is this text in what it means. What does Scripture say? It says, the Lord, speaking of the name that, an expression of His covenant, promise-keeping nature, the Lord who is sovereign over the affairs of the universe and the affairs of men, what is He like? He loves justice. It flows out of His very essence. It is central to His attributes. There's no trace of injustice or wickedness or sin or shifting shadow with Him. He loves justice. What does that mean then? It can only mean that the wicked will face judgment and God will honor His promises to His people. That's who He is. That's what He loves. Nothing else could possibly be the outcome. Nothing else could happen in the end. Because God is faithful and just. If you belong to Him, beloved, if you are in Christ, you belong to this just and faithful God. It will be well for you in the end. You are secure. It's the wicked in prosperity that are in danger these days. You have got to view life through this perspective. You have to. Look at verse 32. No, I think I'm at verse 29. Sorry. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. You see, this is the kind of life that you can live when you are settled in this calm confidence. You can live a life of integrity. You don't have to lie to get what you want. You don't have to pervert justice yourself in order to protect your interests. Why? Because God's faithful and just. You belong to him. You're in his hand. You're secure. And you see, I'm animated because these things are true, because they animate my heart. And I speak to you with such urgency because I know that deep in your heart, you're often reluctant to just let this be true and live in light of it. And somehow we have to impress the urgency and truthfulness of these things on our weak and faltering hearts so that we would be strong and calm and confident and live like spiritual men in the midst of a wicked world. Well, beloved, you only come to that position of strength by working through these things, meditating on them, and saying, yes, I am committed to these truths. Yes, I will bank the entirety of my life and eternity that these things are true. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. I need no other alternatives. I don't need a back door. I go forward solely on the certainty of what God has said in his word, and that is enough, and nothing will cause me to fear as a result. Beloved, that's what your God is worthy of. It's not just your external actions. From the depth of your heart, you should love this Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. One of the ways that you manifest that love is with a calm confidence in a shifting sand of world around you. If you belong to him, you're secure. It's the wicked who are in danger. Look at verse 32. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Beloved, take the long view. Take the long view. Take the long view. Take the long view and trust him. You are kept in Christ. Look at verse 35. I've seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. His life was over. His influence was gone. There was not a trace to be found. By contrast, verse 37, mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a prosperity. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. Where do you get this protection? Where do you live in this blessed realm of security, of calm and confidence? Where's this realm to be found? God promises this protection to those who trust him. Look at verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them. Why? Because they take refuge in him. Scripture says, he who believes in him will never be disappointed. David closes the psalm with a promise to you that if you're taking refuge in the God of the Bible, if your trust is entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the word of a faithful and just God that he will not forget you in the process. You will not be lost in the end. He will not abandon you to Satan and the wickedness of this world. He will protect you. He will keep you. Your response, as you take that long view, is calm confidence, no matter what.
And with that, Pastor Don Green has concluded the series, Take the Long View, We hope you've been encouraged and will come back to Psalm 37 whenever you're tempted to fret about evil in the world or circumstances that are disheartening at present, but will not always be. Next time, Don begins a new series, so don't miss a moment here on the Truth Pulpit. And Don, the Old Testament, in which we've spent the past 3 days mining for gold, if you will, is far more than an ancient document with a few wise words.
Well, that's right, Bill. The Old Testament is part of the living Word of God, and it actively speaks to us. The Old Testament Scriptures are sufficient to point us to Christ. The Old Testament Scriptures help to build us up in Christ. And so we love to study the Old Testament as well as the New, so that we bring the full counsel of God to bear on our lives.
Thanks, Don. And friend, if you'd like information on obtaining free CDs of the messages you hear on our broadcast, just visit us online. Our web address is thetruthpulpit.com. There you'll also find a link to Don's Facebook page. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Well, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.